So last week, we talked a little bit about growth multiplies, and we talked about the seed. Remember that? We talked about the seed determines the harvest, and I'm not going to go back and revisit that a whole lot, but I do believe that we just need a short review for those that may not have been here. I'll keep it short and abbreviated, and then we'll go into the part two that I want to do today, and we'll see how far we get with that. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12, we're going to read today this portion of Scripture. And I started last week with the statement that I believe your tomorrow starts today. Your tomorrow starts today. I'll finish it by saying, by the seeds that you plant. Now, if they don't come to fruition for 6 months, how many knows it's still a tomorrow? Amen? Let's read this. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb-yielding seed and fruit tree-yielding seed after its kind. In other words, everything's going to produce after its kind, whose seed is in itself. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. I want you to understand this. I want you to put this in your pipe and smoke it all the way home today. Seeds will only bear, how do I say it? Seeds only bear, reproduce after their kind. There we go. Seeds only reproduce after their kind. You can't plant one thing and get another. God said he did it that way. It's a law, and it's going to always be that way. And God saw that it was good. Everybody say good. Now, God did not create the trees, the fruit trees, and the vegetation to just reproduce without some kind of effort. There's work that goes into it. Amen. You know, he could have said, Adam, I'm going to plant these apple trees. And as soon as you pluck one apple from that tree, boom, another apple is going to explode right there on that vine. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, Eve, if you go out there and pick up a head of lettuce, immediately as soon as you pick that lettuce up, another one's going to explode and be right there. Because there is a law of seed time and harvest. And if you remember, Genesis 8:21 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. It's a law that God established. The seed will always produce after its kind, but God had everything to reproduce itself, but it had to have humanity involved with it. Somebody's got to plant the seed. Somebody's got to plant. In other words, we have to reinvest or steward the seeds that God has given us for tomorrow. Are you with me? So we find out this is the law of first mention. It's the law that where God first mentions something in the Bible, and it follows through and it sets the precedent for the rest of that. But I just want to remind you today that your future is locked up in your seed. It is locked up in your seed. And, it's really funny how that we are, our culture doesn't look at the finished product. When we eat an apple, how many knows most of the time we will throw the core and throw the seeds away. We don't see the seeds as the finished product. We see the seeds as something to throw away. Are you with me? Come on, stick with me this morning. We see the seed and the core. We just throw it away because we're not wired to look to see the potential of what could come out of those seeds. Are you with me? We're so wired that we only see it when it's been produced, when it's manifest. Didn't we say, oh, there's the apple? People don't take an apple seed and say, oh, there's an apple. Amen? Because we are looking what it is now instead of the potential of what it could be if it were planted. I know this is simple. I know this is elementary, but we still don't get it. Do you know? I'm going to say this again in a minute, but 25% of people that come to church forget what is said before they get home. Let me rephrase that. Not at Solid Rock. Can I hear an amen? Not at solid rock. But overall, the statistic is from the Barnea research is that 25% of people attending church cannot remember what was taught on by the time they get home. And so I have to repeat this time and time again, because what we did yesterday at Solid Rock was seed time. Every minute you invested here yesterday was a seed that you were planting in the kingdom of God. You said, oh, I didn't do anything in the kingdom of God. I just built some steps or some stairs or a platform. Oh, no. What you did was for the kingdom of God. We got to get out of this natural and see there's something supernatural in the seed. There's potential in the seed. Somebody say, help him preach, Lord. Woo! So God, his promises, all of his promises always come in seed form. And sometimes we don't like that because we just want it to come automatically from the storehouse of heaven right into us. But he says there's something that we have to do. Roy, we got to plant seeds. And when we plant the seeds, he brings the harvest. That is a promise and an assurance, but his promises are always in the form of seeds. Do you know that his word, the Bible, is full of seed? The Bible calls it incorruptible seed in 1 Peter, I believe it is. It is incorruptible seed. And so, we got to understand that the harvest for tomorrow depends upon the seeds that we plant today. Amen? How many knows if you want a fruitful marriage, you better plant some good seed. If you're not having a fruitful marriage, maybe you need to look back and see what you've been planting. Have you been planting jealousy, hatred, unnecessary words, unkindness? Amen. And so, if your finances are falling, the bottom's falling out from under, take an investigation and look and see, have you been planting seeds? Have you been honoring God? Have you been giving to the kingdom of God? Because it all is a seed. How do money is a seed? Darlene and I love to give. We love to give. And we've had opportunity just in the last couple of weeks go and hand somebody some money just to bless them. And you know what? That stuff came back so fast. It came back fast. I mean, you can't even, my pocketbook doesn't even tell that I gave it away because it came back so fast. Somebody told me yesterday that they gave in the ladies' offering on 2 weeks ago on Sunday. And they said, Monday, during the day, that same amount that they gave came back to them. It was unexpected, came out of nowhere. It's a seed, folks. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get in your pocketbook. I'm not trying to rape your finances. All I want to do is help you to see it's a seed. Get it through our thick heads. It's a seed. Time is a seed. Words are a seed. Finances are a seed. Everything we do is a seed. Yeah, and thank you, honey. You want to help me preach? Don't eat your seed. When you eat your seed, there's nothing left. But when you plant your seed, you'll grow some. And the Bible says in Corinthians that God provides seed for the sower. He doesn't provide seed for the eater. He provides it for the sower, and then you'll have something to eat. Do you realize how many cantaloupes are in one cantaloupe? When you open it up, I've never counted the seeds. Maybe we can ask Siri. Siri, how many cantaloupe seeds are in a cantaloupe? She's not talking right now.
Size cantaloupe will yield roughly a cup of seeds, so you may need more than one melon for certain recipes.
Okay, I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway, you've already fact-checked me, so somebody just tell me, huh? Okay, it doesn't matter. How many of those? There's hundreds. Looks like hundreds. Maybe a cup, maybe two cups. I don't know, but they're little bitty baby seeds. But how many cantaloupes are in one cantaloupe when you open it up and see all those seeds? So I can eat the cantaloupe. And believe me, I can eat a whole cantaloupe. I love cantaloupe. Anybody else eat a whole cantaloupe? Oh, yeah, thank you. Just all of us chubby people, right? Hey, I apologize for the way I look today. My wife made me get rid of so many of my clothes yesterday. No, she didn't make me. She just said they look horrible on you because they're too big. And I'm just starting to look really wearing big clothes, but that's all I got. So you're just going to have to put up with my sloppy look today. But that's all right. I don't mind losing weight. I'll go get some new clothes later on. But listen, everything is a seed. Everything is a seed. God's given us a seed. And what I want to talk to you today about is in Mark chapter 4, it talks about the ground that the seed is planted in. Because how many knows if you just throw seeds out here on this carpet like some of you did last Sunday morning? You didn't hear the instructions, did you? By the time Sarah got through vacuuming, she had a yard. Listen, if you just throw your seed out here on the ground, it's not going to produce. The ground has to be good ground to produce. And even the Bible says it'll produce 30, 60, and 100 if the ground is good and receives the seed. So that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. Amen. So we need to start understanding. First of all, and I'll go back to last week. We have to understand that everything is a seed. Well, I just don't have any friends. Well, have you planted any friendly seeds? When nobody talks to me at church. Well, have you planted any talking seeds? You're waiting for a harvest for somebody to come up and talk to you, and you've never talked to anybody? Well, I thought this was a friendly church, Brother Rhodes. I thought everybody loved everybody. Well, we do, and we are. But you know, sometimes you got to put the seed in the ground first. Some people come in here all snobbish and wonder why somebody didn't greet them. Come on. Sound like Cote, didn't I? Come on. I have no idea where I'm at. I know one thing, Siri's still listening to me. Quit that. Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'll skip that. David was anointed king as a young boy, but he didn't look like a king the next day. He didn't look like a king the next year. In fact, it was like 14 years, maybe 15 years before he went to the throne. But the potential was there. It didn't look like it was there. It didn't look like he was king, but the potential was there. And what the prophet said to him was a seed, and it did come to pass. Amen? When Joseph had his dream, you know, and he said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be that. And they said, oh, no, you're not. We're throwing you in the pit. How many knows? It didn't look like he was going to be the ruler over a lot of people, right? But the potential was there. The seed was there. The seed was planted. And he became what God said. You're going to be what God said you're going to be if you'll plant the seed. Oh, it didn't look like he was king, and it didn't look like he was a ruler. But how many know some of you don't look like you used to look like either? Oh, wouldn't you like to flip the pages back about 10 years and see what some of you used to look like? No? How would you like for us to go back to your yearbook, your high school yearbook, and look at your senior picture and throw it up here for everybody to see? Yeah, well, we've changed, haven't we? We've changed because you know what? There's potential in you. Thank God, I'm not the same guy I was 10 years ago. And you know what? I don't want to be the same guy 10 years from now that I am now. 86? I hope not. I hope I'm not the same. Amen? So what I'm saying is everybody that's being used by God has to go through a growth process. The seed takes time. Amen? Said the same thing to Abraham. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go to Mark chapter 4, and it's 11:21, and so we're going to start the sermon here. And how many here this morning will give me, how many will give me 10 minutes? Hold your hand up. If you'll give me 10 minutes, there's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Okay, that's all I need, 60 minutes. Thank you very much. All I need is 60 minutes, and I just got it. You fell for it again, didn't you? Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. I believe today I'll read from the KJV version, and we will switch around a little bit. And Jesus began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. But because it had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, and it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now listen, it's not the seed that's bad. It's the ground. Can I, do you want me to drill that home again? The seed is never bad. The seed is always good. And it's not that the seed is not good. It's the ground that needs to be tilled, cultivated, worked, watered. Okay, let's go on. Where am I at? Verse 8. And others fell on good ground, and it yielded fruit. It sprang up and increased and brought forth fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, it was that last sentence may not make a lot of sense unless we're understanding that he's not talking about these two things on your side of your head. He's talking about if you got spiritual ears, listen to what I'm saying. So he says, a sower went out to sow. But I want you to look at verse 14. It says here, Mark 4:14, Jesus said unto them, Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The importance of this parable is the most important one to understand, because you'll never understand the others if you don't understand the seed and the ground. And that's why I have to teach this. We have to learn the importance. You know, I said last week about the seed, and we got all excited. Throw the seed. Let's get the seed. Let's eat the seed. But listen, you've got to make sure that we're putting the seed on good ground. You can't put good money in bad investments and expect a return. I am not going to invest my finances in a sinking business. So we plant on good ground. Would you rather invest where you can get a yearly yield of 7% or a yearly yield of 3%? Plant your seed on the right ground. And so he said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to know any of the other parables. Amen. That's what he's saying. In other words, you can't just hear it with these ears here. How many people come to church, they hear a word with these ears, but it never sinks down into their spirit? Because their spiritual ears are dull of hearing. Somebody shout amen. You see, the condition of the heart has to be right. You can have all the Bible. Listen, there are people that know the Bible. They can quote the Bible. You can ask them, what does John 4:17 say? And they can tell you exactly what it says. But that doesn't mean they have spiritual intellect. And Jesus is saying in this parable, it's more than just intellect. It's more than just hearing it with these ears. And there's people that'll come to church today, they'll hear this message with these ears, but because it's in these ears and not these ears, they'll walk out and forget what was said. I think the book of James says something about that, doesn't it? And so it's not your intelligence. It's not your education. It's not how many PhDs are behind your name. It's the condition of your heart in receiving the word. And some people come to church, you know, and their heart is not receptive at all. Some people come in very defensive. Some people come in mad. Some people come in moody. Well, it's quiet in this church today. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. Come on now. Listen, people, and because the ground is not receptive to the word, it won't produce. I could preach. I could stand up here and preach until I had a beard down to my knees. But if you're not receiving the word on good ground, it's not going to do any good. So now he's going to explain what this meant as we drop down to verse 15. Verse 14 says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And I think one translation says he comes immediately to take the word that was sown in their hearts. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word, and once they receive it, they receive it with joy. Oh, man, there's so much emotions. There's so much, hallelujah, I received that word. But now listen, they have no root, and it only lasts for a short time. Have you ever seen people like that? Man, they can shout the loudest, they can run the fastest in the church, and they can hoop and holler, but they're the first ones to get offended and quit the church when something doesn't go right. Like, I don't like the color of the carpet that's coming in next week. I think I'll quit. I just had to throw that in. By the way, Boosenbark loves us, but they did not give us the carpet. You understand that? They love doing business with us, but they gave us a pretty hefty discount, but they didn't give it to us. And so if you want to help on the carpet, you feel free to do whatever you want. We've already had about 5,000 come in. Just saying things like that. And so if you want to help, feel free to. Okay, where am I at now? Verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life. What did I say? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches or wealth, and the desire for other things come in. Oh, I hope you're listening with those spiritual ears. And it chokes the word and causes it to be unfruitful. Let me remind you, there is nothing wrong with the word. David Ingalls used to sing, "The word is working mightily in me." The word, there's nothing wrong with the word. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, and some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. So Jesus is now speaking about, he's explaining the parable, right? Help me, Alex, if I mess up, okay? He's explaining the parable of the sower sows the word, and he's talking about the word that is being planted. How many knows Jesus is the word, right? Jesus was the seed. How many knows? He was the firstborn of many brethren. So he was the seed. But here's the thing. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is the ground fertile enough to receive the seed. Now you say, "Pastor Rhodes, I've heard you say that 10 times. Well, buckle your seatbelt. I'm going to probably say it at least 10 more times. The question is not, did God give you a seed? Everybody here today has a seed. One man told me, he didn't tell me, but I heard him say many years ago, he went to an Oral Roberts meeting, and Oral Roberts was teaching on seed time and harvest. And he said, "I had nothing to give except when I walked through the back door, they gave me a visitor's card and one of these little golfing pencils." You know what they look like, these little pencils, to fill out the thing. He said, "I had nothing to give, but they gave me that pencil, so it was mine. So when the offering plate came around, I put in the pencil. That's all I had." And he said, "Before I got out the door, somebody gave me, I forget how much it was, but they gave him a certain amount. And he said, I put the whole thing in an envelope and ran up and put it in the offering plate." So God gives seed to the sower. Honey, we got to talk about this sometime. We got to go to Corinthians and talk about this sometime. He gives seed to the sower. So get out your notebooks, get out your devices. I want you to take some notes with me this morning. I want you to write this down. Three major obstacles to growth. Three major obstacles to growth. Three major, you can go to notes. We have an app for notes for Solid Rock that you can take notes there. You can write it in your notebook. I don't care if you write it on the palm of your hand. Take these down. Three major obstacles to growth. Watch this video, please. Come on.
Seed just fell prey to the environment.
Uh-huh.
You are a seed from God. God made you in his likeness. He big, he vast. Don't you allow your environment to dictate the oak tree that you become. Because, amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with your seed. Say that with me. Ain't nothing wrong with my seed. How many knows that environment? You can't keep it in a small pot. Amen. Okay. So obstacle number one. Obstacle number one, Jesus said, was a hardened heart. A hardened heart. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. The disciple says, God, Jesus, I don't understand what you're talking about. Can you give me some more clarity? And so we drop down to verse 18 and 19 where Jesus is given the clarity. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. Now, I'm going to tell you what the path is. The path is hardened soil. Hardened soil. Now, sometimes we think hardened soil are the lost people out there. But I want to tell you something. You can be an unbelieving believer. You can be a believer and have a hardened heart. Come on now, don't shout me down. You can be a believer and have a hardened heart. It's not just those that are out in the world. Listen, you come to this church week after week after week. You listen to these songs. Some of you enter in, some of you don't. Some rejoice, some just, you know, don't. But that's where you're at. That's okay. But you can hear the praise and worship. You can hear the word of God being preached. You hear the seeds that are coming forth, and you hear it over. You've seen the moves of God, and Jesus is talking about those people that are hearing and hearing and hearing, but they're unresponsive. Unresponsive. Those who hear the word but do not apply the word. You hear the word, but you're not a doer of the word. Is this okay? I'm going on. Isn't it amazing how people can sit in the same room as you are and somebody say, man, that blessed me. Somebody came up to me last week and said, that's the best message I've ever heard you preach. And then somebody else sitting somewhere might say, I didn't hear it, but somebody might say, wow, he did a lousy job. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you're looking to have these ears tickled, honey, you've come to the wrong church. This pastor don't tickle ears. I don't do things to get people to stay here. If anything, I'll try to run you off, and if you're still here, then I know God sent you. That's the way we operate. Well, everybody say, oh, I love my pastor. People sit in the same room, hear the same word, same songs, people praising, some not, others hear the word, getting touched by the word, and others just like a statue. And we wonder why one-fourth of the church leaves untouched by the preaching of the word. So the Lord is saying it's people that are unresponsive. Hardened hearts are people that are unresponsive. The word is trying to challenge you, but you've ignored it for so long that it gets fainter and fainter and fainter. Am I right, Doc? The word, the more you hear the word and reject it or don't become a doer of it, then your spiritual ears get duller and duller and duller. Amen. You can hear something like, you hear pastors stand up here and say, the scriptures teach us do not commit fornication. It will separate you from God. And you can hear it, you can listen to it, and then you can go home and keep doing the same thing. If the word does not change the status quo of your life, your heart has become hardened. You're not receiving. You're hearing, but you're not receiving. If the word doesn't move you, your heart has become hardened. God help me. Daryl, be calm. Okay. It's possible to be in church, hear the word, hear the scriptures, and be totally unchanged. It blows my mind sometimes how that we should be maturing and growing in the Lord, hear the word over. I asked somebody yesterday, I asked Jeff, put him on the spot. I said, we was back there in the back, and he had that saw going, making a bunch of sawdust, and I was trying to sweep it up as he was making it. I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, Jeff, are you good? Are you happy with being at Solid Rock? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you love Solid Rock? Oh, yes, I do. And then I asked him the biggie, are you learning and growing and maturing as a Christian? And he said, yes, I am. Thank you, Jeff. Somebody's listening. Somebody's learning. Somebody's growing. Amen. But it's possible to just sit and hear and hear and hear and never be changed. 20 years. If your relationship is not stronger with God than it was 10 years ago, something is vitally wrong with your walk with the Lord. Isn't it Hebrews? Do I have Hebrews up there? Today, if you hear the word, if you hear his voice, if you hear pastor preaching, don't harden your hearts. That simply means don't be unresponsive. Open up your heart and receive the word of the Lord. You know why? Because the enemy is waiting to snag that seed out from you. And as long as it's sitting on hard ground, he has an opportunity like Sarah to come and vacuum it all up. And it'll not produce anything. We were in Durban, South Africa several years ago. And we had been to a couple of churches there and working with a missionary couple there. And they said, you want to go down to the beach? And we said, yeah, let's go down and look at the beach. I've never seen the Indian Ocean. And so we went down there. And they had a big boardwalk. But Darlene, do you remember all the pigeons that were down there? Thousands and thousands of pigeons were there. But you know why they were there? Because people were holding out their hands and the birds were snatching the seed out of their hand. You could have a handful of seed and in no time, your hand would be empty. Because they came immediately to take the word from you or take the seed from you. That's the way the enemy works. He's just waiting. For that seed to go in you because he knows your heart is not receptive and he can come and pluck it out. Therefore, the word is not productive in your life. Am I helping anybody today? I know for some of you it's just a reminder. Some of you this is kindergarten, but we need to understand, you know, this we need to make sure. Because, you know, the Bible says in Corinthians, Satan has blinded the minds of people so that they don't receive. He will blind your minds. Oh, that's not what the word means. Oh, the pastor's just ranting and raving. That's not what, but listen, give the word a chance to be planted in the soil of your heart. Amen? So, I need to go to the next one, but I'm not ready. Okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. The enemy loves to get you thinking during worship. Listen, about all the bills that are coming due this week. We're worshiping God. This team up here is pouring 110% into the worship service, and the enemy gets us to thinking about, oh, this bill is due this week. I don't know if I can pay it or not. I forgot to check Facebook before I came to church. I better check and see how many likes I have on Facebook. Hello, am I in the right church today? I have to go to no longer Twitter, it's X. I have to go to X. Is that right? Yeah. To see what they're saying today. You know, we get so distracted. The enemy specializes in distractions. That's why when there's a lot of movement in a service or a lot of talking in a service, that it can cause distraction. Did you know that you talking to somebody can distract the person behind them or in front of them? And that's why the enemy loves distraction. Are you with me? You still love me? You want me to continue?
Yeah.
Okay, I will anyway. He loves to get us, you know, checking our investments, we got any latest emails on how the investment's coming, or do we have any kind of did the Dow Jones go up or down today? And what happens is our heart is closed. Our heart is closed. Amen. Let's do number two, okay? Barrier number two is shallow ground. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun because it didn't have deep roots and it died. Let me give you Matthew's version. Matthew 13 says, on the same parable. The seed was on rocky soil, and it represents those who hear the message. They immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, it doesn't last long. They fall away as soon as, listen to this, as soon as they have problems or as soon as they are persecuted for believing the word. Persecuted for going to that Pentecostal church over at 126 Holly Tree Lane. Hello? I'm trying to be gentle, but sometimes the old flesh just comes out in my preaching, doesn't it? Listen, who said that? Alice? Meet me in my office right after church. They hear the word, but because of persecution for believing the word, they fall by the wayside, or because they have problems. Honey, let me tell you something. As long as you're in this life, there will be problems. Even Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will have valleys. You will have dry spots. There will be earthquakes. There will be storms come into your life. Mark it down. But we're not going to quit and pull the seed out of the ground because it's not working. Because it is working. Give it time. It doesn't grow up overnight. A lot of people have great joy and emotions, but because they have no depth, an emotional response without a true heart. Okay, I'm going to try to run through this real fast, Sister Becky. I gave you 19 pages, didn't I? 18 pages, 19? Well, I have more than that. I added to it last night. How many knows it takes a while for the seed to go into the deep into the ground and germinate? It takes a while. And that's why the enemy comes immediately to steal the word, like in the hardened heart. But number two, in the stony heart, is that what it was, the stony heart? Yeah, it fell on shallow ground. It's because we haven't let it take root because there's tribulations or the wind's blowing. Amen. And it takes a while. It takes a while for the seed to grow. I planted some grass in my backyard last spring, and I threw some grass seed out there. But do you know what I had to do? I had to cover it up with Why did I cover it up with straw? Because had I not, the birds would have come and eaten the seed before it got planted. Not only, I didn't just throw it on top of the ground. Even if I would have put straw on top of the ground, I think the crazy birds would have found them. So what did I do? I scratched the ground. I tilled the ground. I worked the ground a little bit, and then I put the seed in, and I covered it back up. Why? So that the seed would have at least get some roots before the birds found it. Are you with me? Okay. So how many knows it takes time to grow? I said it takes time to grow. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual realm. It takes time to grow. You don't grow overnight. One of the things that I've learned, and I advise pastors everywhere I go, I will advise pastors, beware of putting people in positions too early because you don't know where their maturity levels are. Now, you can come and tell me, oh, my maturity level is great. I can do this and I can do that. Somebody said, oh, you know what? This family just moved up from Nashville. And man, they are talented. They were in the recording business down in Nashville. And we need them on our worship team. You know what I say? Oh, no, we don't. We're going to watch them first. We're going to see how faithful they are. We're going to see how submissive they are. We're going to find out if they're easy to work with. How many knows the last thing we need is more drama on the worship team? Whew. Dwayne, where are you? Can I hear an amen? Last thing we need is more drama. And so we watch them and we see how teachable they are, how faithful they are. Amen? So I don't care. I will take faithfulness above talent any day of the week. Amen. I will take faithfulness above ability any day of the week. Okay, let me find a new place to start here. Colossians 2:7. Here's a statement I want to make. You might want to write this down. Shallow ground produces quick responses, but weak endurance. Shallow ground produces quick responses but weak endurance. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth you were taught and the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. What's he saying? Let them go deep so when the pressure's applied, you're not going to fall apart. Amen? An emotional heart. Obstacle number one is what? Obstacle number two is? And barrier number three is? A crowded heart. This is the thorny ground. How many of you stay with me for just a few more minutes? How many of you give me 1 minute? Okay, let's do this way. Okay. Others fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Now, the explanation is, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mark 4 says it like this. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, and it chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, it didn't say it rejected the word. It's competing. It's something that's competing with the word. There's something in your heart that is competing with the word that's keeping it from growing the way that God wants us to grow. In other words, there's something growing in your heart besides the seed that was planted. And you know what? There's sometimes we have to cut things out of our heart. Come on now. Can I just be a real pastor with you for a minute? Is that relationship that you're in? That relationship, is it drawing you closer to God, or is it taking you further away from God? Is that relationship that you're in competing with the word that you're hearing and trying to pull you into another area? Come on. Only you can answer that question. But there's things in your heart that are competing. There's relationships. There's, well, he's so cute. He makes me warm. He makes me so fuzzy. I don't care. Does he draw you closer to God or away from God? Come on, Trent. Shout amen. You know I'm telling the truth, right? He might be cute, but how many knows he can kill your fruit? Oh, that's rhymes, doesn't it? Yeah, write that one down. Put that one on Facebook and X. He's so cute, but he's killing your fruit. Are those people that you're hanging around with helping you or hurting you? Are they encouraging you to keep your integrity or your faithfulness to God? Are they inviting you over to their apartment for some alone time, or do they have good boundaries? Now, this is just black and white preaching, okay? Is that okay? Amen. Somewhere, somebody's got to be the big person to say, it's going to end. Because I love God more than I love anything else. Notice it said the deceitfulness of riches. How many of those riches can have a deceitfulness about it? Like, I can never have enough. I can never get enough. If I get this much, I want more. All I want is a brand new car. All I want is a brand new house. All I want is a yacht. Oh, Brother Rhodes, we can't come to church anymore because we have to go to the lake every Sunday. Come on now. Come on now. I know that may be a little extravagant, but some of us think in those terms, maybe in smaller attractions. Got to be careful to make sure we don't have too many distractions in our life. Let me just say something about the deceitfulness of riches. I didn't give this to you, but because I just got this last night. Number one, riches promise security. Riches promise security. Oh, you're safe because you've got lots of money. You've got plenty. You won't have to worry about anything. Listen, folks, that's not true. That is the deceitfulness of riches. In fact, Timothy says, do not trust in those riches. Number two, riches promise satisfaction. In other words, if you just had a little bit more, you'd be happier. just a little bit more, you'd be happier. Are you with me? But how many knows that appetite is never quenched? That thirst is never quenched and that appetite is never fulfilled. In fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Riches promote significance. Yeah, identity, value from what I own. Luke says, Jesus said in Luke, be alert and guard your heart from greed and always wishing for what you don't have. For your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. Man, this is good. Riches promise control. Yeah, there's these promises of illusion that that you can control your future and you can control your life. And the Bible says God's the one that needs to be controlling our life. Amen. And of course, Jesus just said that riches can choke the word. Choke the word. It's rejected. It's crowded out. There's priorities. There's priority shifts. No longer am I seeking God and his righteousness. No longer am I seeking time in prayer with God. No longer am I seeking to be in the house of God. I've got to work. I've got overtime. I've got double overtime. I've got to make money. And the deceitfulness will choke the word. It'll weaken your prayer life. The deceitfulness of riches is the lie that what money can buy is more valuable than what God can provide. That would be a good one to write down. The deceitfulness of riches is the lie what money can buy is more valuable than what God can provide. So there we go, talking about the thorny ground, the cares of this world, desire for other things, deceitfulness of riches. I think I'm going to finish this today. Number four, the fourth type of soil. The fourth type of soil is the fruitful heart soil. That's what we call it, the fruitful heart soil. Other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they had planted. Now, I want to tell you something. Listen closely. The soil is not perfect, but the soil is responsive. The soil will always be responsive. You know, a good heart is not someone who's perfect. God's not looking for somebody that's dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, never sins, and is just perfect. God's not looking for those kind of people. You know why? There aren't any. I know you think you're sitting next to one, but they're not. Nobody's got it all together. And people that want you to believe that they've got it all together are just filled with pride and arrogance. God's looking for somebody that's responsive to the word. You allow that good seed to germinate in you and in good soil. And eventually, listen, do you know that? I had to look this up because I wasn't sure about this. But do you know that a good seed can change the culture of the soil? Put that in your whatever. I run out of sayings. A good seed can change the culture of the soil, the nitrates, the different things that seed. Now it actually that seed has the ability to change that soil. I gotta read this because it's too good. The nutrients that seed can actually change the type of ground. And it says here, here's what I wrote down. When the right seed takes root, the life inside it begins to enrich the ground it grows in. See how important the heart is? If the worship team wants to come on up, I'll invite you up. Eventually, the soil becomes better because the seed was planted there. Are y'all hearing this today? I mean, this is life-changing. When the seed of God's word is planted in our heart, the ground, it causes the ground to improve. It adds nutrients. It adds nitrogen. The Word of God is the seed. And when it grows in the heart, it changes the culture of the heart. And eventually, the environment becomes fertile for even more fruit. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Can you say that's good? Yes. This is good stuff. I'm about to shout around. I'll shout by myself if y'all won't shout with me. This is good stuff. Now, if I were to tell you, I'd be remiss to tell you that after hearing this message today, everybody's going to be so fruitful. Because it doesn't work that way. It takes time. Some of you sowed a few hours of seeds of time yesterday. But you know what? It will come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Some people say, yeah, I just ain't got time to do anything. I'm so busy. You know what you need to do? You need to plant some seeds. I just don't have any friends. You know what we need to do? Plant some seeds. Nobody ever talks to me. You know what we need to do? Plant some seeds. Nobody likes me. Well, I wonder, who do you like? Are you planting like seeds? Yeah, we're all going to experience. We're all going to experience these problems and these things in life. But I'm telling you what. The seed is not the problem. Stand to your feet with me this morning, if you would. I want you to say this with me. Say, God wants me to be fruitful. Say it again. God wants me to be fruitful. But my soil has to be conditioned to receive the seed. You see, you can't just throw it out on stony ground. You can't throw it out on where the thorns are going to take it and destroy it. You know what fertile ground is? Fertile ground is the ability to handle pressure. Did you hear me? Fertile ground is the ability to handle pressure. Amen. How do you make sure it's good soil? How do you make sure it's good soil? Sis, don't leave today before I talk to you. That just came to me, okay? Purple? Yeah, you. How do you make sure that you have good soil? Number one, prayer. Everybody say prayer. That's the first step in making sure you have good soil. Prayer is like watering the ground. It softens it. It prepares it. You know, we've said this for years and years, but praise and worship is the preparation in a service for the hearts of people to receive the word. Praise and worship gets us in an attitude of worshiping, praising, and loving God so that we can receive the word. Interpret that. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time to pray. Oh, yes, you do. You let that little baby get sick and we'll see. Let your hot water heater go out. We'll find out that you got time to pray. Amen. You got time to be on Chit Chat or whatever it's called. You got time to be on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And what are some other platforms that I'm missing? If we would spend less time asking AI to map out a future for our lives and start asking RI. Artificial intelligence is not going to get it done. Are you hearing me? AI is not going to get it done. But RI, real intelligence from God, is going to map out your future if you will listen to him. Number two, prayer is number one. Number two is get a good diet of the Word of God. Make sure you keep a good diet of the Word of God. Amen? Keep feeding on the Word of God. Bible says the Word of God is living. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Timothy says all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching and correcting and training in righteousness. Number three, I'll close with this. This might be the best. You need community. You must have community. You know what? We need people in our lives that will tell us the truth.
I just want somebody to tell me the truth.
No, you don't. Because if they tell you the truth, you don't see them anymore. They disappear. We need people that will be forthright, honest with us, tell us the truth at the risk of hurting our feelings. We need community. Amen? Yeah, Brother Rhodes, I just like honest feedback. No, you don't. Because it upsets you. I've given people honest feedback before and they quit the church. Oh, well. How many knows the truth will set you free? Amen. Psalms 119, 130. I'm reading from the Holman Bible. The revelation of your word brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. Contemporary English version. Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Don't you love that? Brings revelation to us ordinary people. Submit to God. Accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. James 1, 21. I told you a while ago that Jesus said, anyone that has ears to hear, let him hear. You know what he's actually saying, Chris, is if you have ears to hear, then understand, then you'll understand what I'm saying. Because every one of you have heard something that I've said this morning. But did you have the ears to understand what was being spoken? How many here has had a baby 1 or 2 years old running around the house at one time or another? Did you hear what I said? I said, don't do that. Do you think they understand what you're saying? 1 year old? They heard you. They heard you, but come on, they may not have understood every English word you said. Sometimes I get frustrated at my dog because I forget he don't know English. He that hath ears, let him hear. Let him understand. Ears to listen and ears to understand. Some people never listen because they're doing all the talking. That's a good time to say amen. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that every word that I spoke today, the seed, the good seed that I've taught today, will not only go in the ears, but will sink into the heart of good ground to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Father, for those that may have had a hard time understanding, I'm asking you to open the ears of their heart that they might understand. And for those that may have misunderstood something that was said, or maybe I said something that could have been easily misunderstood, thank you, Holy Spirit, for correcting it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for correcting it. So now I pray, God, for every hard heart that's watching by live stream, watching later on in the week, or standing in this campus today, Lord, I pray that every hard heart would be softened. I pray that every shallow heart would begin to grow depth and get deeper and deeper as the ground is cultivated. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that have distracted hearts, the cares of this world, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. distracts us and shoves out and competes with the Word of God. Father, I pray that every fruitful heart, every distracted heart would find focus, and every fruitful heart will be cultivated in Jesus' name. Father, I'm asking you to do something in the hearts of the people today. I remember that song, Lord, that Joey Cannaday and Lisa Wallen wrote several years ago. God, change our hearts. Do something with our hearts, oh God. Create in us a clean heart that's receptive to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you'd allow me just to speak a word over this congregation today and those that are listening, I believe that some of you are going to begin to experience a new depth of revelation of the Word of God. You're going to begin to open the Word of God, and you're going to see things. Just like Bella said last Wednesday night, we'd read it many times, but this time it jumped off of the page into our hearts. And God, I thank you that the people of Solid Rock are going to experience a brand new depth. It's going to revolutionize their life. God, it's going to cause fruitfulness to flow abundantly in their lives. Help us to submit to the process of the seed growing in our hearts. It took David 15 years. It took Joseph many years. God, you said Abraham would be the child, and he would be the father, that he was going to be the father of many nations, and that he would have a child. And God, he was 100 years old before it happened. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to look back on Sunday morning, March 8th, 2026, and we're going to see where the change began to take place and the fruitfulness begins to abound. Those things that have been competing in our hearts, our desires, our personal desires that outweigh kingdom desires, are going to switch 180 degrees. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. Would you just lift your hands today, and would you just, you can say it out loud or you can say it under your breath. You say, Lord, I receive the word today. I receive the word today, Lord. I receive understanding today, Lord. If there's something that's not clear, ask the Lord to bring revelation to you. Ask him to clear up some things that may have been spoken that you don't quite see just yet. You know, I'm not always 100% right. I learn and I grow. I'm open. And we need to all be open today. Lord, if there's something that I'm missing, show it to me. If my desire for money is greater than for my desire for you, Lord, show it to me. If my desire to drive a race car around a track at 220 miles an hour is greater than my love for you, Lord, I need to know that I'm out of balance. Thank you, Lord. Would you just lift your hands and give the Lord a praise for just a couple of moments as the worship team sings, as the worship team leads us in worship? Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Just begin to praise God. The seed's been planted. The seed's been planted. The seed's been planted today. Get ready. Get ready for a harvest. Get ready. Things are about to turn around for some of you. Some of your desires are going to begin to change today. Those things that you were seeking after are not going to matter anymore, because now I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Come on, worship him. Just worship him for just a few moments before we go home today. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, yes, Lord. All my life, yes.
All my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
Come on, Dylan, sing it.